11:58. This is the best hour of Show and Vern. I am Ron, the show Hughley. That is Joshua Lamont Vernier. And holding it down in for Steve Serta, who was out all week. Jason Ketz, who has earned, in my eyes, I'm taking an executive decision, has earned another, that curling question really sent me down a positive road, has earned a second newsflash in the 12 o'clock hour. Yeah, congratulations.
That'll get us out of the top 15. That'll move us up real quick. Good job. Good call, leader. Nice job.
Yeah, good one. That's right, baby. Hey, there's one thing though, and I think we've been on this and giving it. We said we want to give it some time, but there's one thing that I believe there is enough evidence there for us to see. This team has a championship offense. We've talked about this team has a championship special teams. Although Tyreek Hill was doing some odd things last night. But this team in 2018 has a championship pass rush. This D-line and this pass rush, they can get after it. Like, this isn't no longer just against the Browns, the Cardinals, and their bad offensive line. And the Broncos and their subpar offensive line, they went after one of the best offensive lines in football, confused them. D Ford, they were scared to death and were not going to let him wreck the game. And we didn't hear from Justin Houston for about 2.5 quarters, but he was a dominant Justin Houston at times in the latter stages of the third quarter and in the fourth quarter, getting pressure. 1-on-1 against one of the best left tackles in football, and Andrew Whitworth, scoring, causing a strip sack. There was a point where they just kind of took over the game. He forced a fumble. D Ford forced a fumble that led to point. Like, if there's nothing we didn't learn, and now enough evidence against a really good offense, they've got what it takes in terms of a pass rush. Chris Jones, another sack, I believe, last night. That's 7 damn straight games. You can't do nothing with that. Like, that's just real. And D Ford still getting pressure when they came in and said, we're not going to let him ruin this game. Still causing problems. That pass rush is real. And it can, and maybe that could be enough to help this secondary. But there's enough evidence in. Like, that pass rush is championship worthy.
Yeah, my only, no arguments there. My only question is it that level, what we saw last night, Jones playing like that, Houston making a play or two, and then D Ford commanding
yes,
all of the attention, which allows Bailey, and we've seen this for the past few
Bailey
weeks.
Bailey was good. Bailey got pressure.
It allows everyone else single coverage, allows them to eat. My question is it sustainable over the course of the postseason? Because maybe unlike other teams in the AFC, other great teams in football, maybe. Now, the more I see some of these other secondaries, now there are a few, and maybe the Rams secondary will be even better with the return of Aqib Talib. You know, you can talk about the Chargers secondary as an upper echelon group if you want. But my question comes back to, this is a defensive line. This is a front seven that must play well. You know, it's not one of those things where, hey, we need a big play here. Now D Ford
pick it up.
Yeah. Can step it up. No, I need that every single possession for the opposition. If the defensive line doesn't bring that A game in the divisional round, in the conference championship game, and the Super Bowl, I don't see how the Chiefs can win it all. Now, that's a great problem to have. It's a great discussion. I wonder, though, is that every team? Is every team as reliant on their pressure as the Chiefs are?
I don't think the Patriots are. I think that's a team that you look at. I think they're more on scheme and certain guys. But up front, Trey Flowers for the Patriots has to play well. Like, he is their guy up front. But, yeah, I think it's even bigger for the Chiefs because as much as teams are scoring all over the league, mm-hmm. still, man, we see this. The Rams, let me give you a secret. They don't have – like, Brandon Cooks is a really good receiver, but this ain't – like, they've got guys. Like, Robert Woods is good, but he's not
byproduct of their offense.
Yeah, he's
like
not
the Bears.
Robert, like, Woods isn't as good as Sammy Watkins if he's healthy. That Reynolds rap guy, whoever the hell was, mm-hmm. that guy, like these, like they're not great. Josh Gordon could be a problem
because you saw
Edelman,
what it
that's
like.
A problem. Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, that's a problem, and they got to have that D line. But earlier in the season, Vern, I don't know that we knew that D line was that. Now,
but that's also because we didn't know how much we could rely on D Ford.
Yes,
and now it seems like this is
sense.
Every single
and Chris
Sunday.
Chris Jones, who's been much more consistent this year, and I think D Ford obviously helps that. I think right what you watch. This is why I think it was very important in this game is because I think this is you're not facing boobs that are coaching, like the idiotic nature of the Broncos and the Cardinals. And the Browns, who are just going to leave D Ford by himself on the right tackle over and over again. No, the Rams have a good coaching staff, and they came in and they said, we're not going to let you wreck the game. Okay? We're not going to let you come in. We're going to have somebody over there. Now, he still got pressure. He still caused errant throws. I can really remember a third down where he caused Jared Goff to be off on and not convert a first down because of his pressure. But they weren't going to let him wreck it. And then when you see, all right, they're putting attention over there every time they're dropping back, then you got to see Justin Houston beat one of the better tackles in the league. And it took a while, but you got to see him get some pressure. I could remember a series, not just the one where that ended on the touchdown with Bailey, but a series where he came in, forced the sack, and then also stopped a running play on a second and third down. Like you start to see that. When you see when they've got to help, that means Chris Jones is getting singled up. And this is like you can see now against a good coaching staff, not idiots, a good coaching staff, not the Jacksonville Jaguars, you can see, all right, they can do this against the best offensive minds. So I think it is a legit thing that is real.
The only thing from that is your concerns or your wonder a few weeks ago about whether or not Justin Houston would be able to accept being the number two, right? Allowing D Ford to get the most opportune matchup at that rush end position. I think the wonder of whether or not Justin Houston will be able to
consistently
stomach being the number two. I think you can push those questions out because the way that Justin Houston has been getting the one-on-one coverage and the way that Justin Houston has been showing up in the stat sheet, that to me has to pacify even the biggest of egos. The plays and the attention that once again Justin Houston is garnering from the media and from fans, yeah, that to me has to silence any questions of whether or not he's cool with D Ford being the guy.
We are the football station. And we mean that. Thursday, you're rolling around Thanksgiving. I think a really, really fascinating game, a game that a couple of weeks ago wasn't a good one now. Alex Smith, they have lost, but the Washington are going to take on Dallas on Thanksgiving. It'll be right here on this air on 610 Sports. So this will be a really interesting game coming up on Thursday.
Let me ask you a quick question. I was a little – and I don't even know if I want to say late to the party. You were very early. You and Serta were very early to anoint Travis Kelce as the best tight end in football. And if we're talking about health, yeah, I'll give you that. He's there every single Sunday. Rob Gronkowski, obviously, you can't rely on the guy. But to me, when it comes to when on the field, sheer talent and hands, I still think it's debatable. But can we talk about Travis Kelce? Because it seems to me,
baby.
Last night, a big third down drop. I remember a playoff game, and again, I'm not
Steelers
zeroing drop. In on every one of these playoff games, but when you are wildly, not wildly, but widely, sort of crept in there.
He really did.
When you are widely recognized as the best in the league, don't you have to be a little bit more sure-handed, a little bit more reliable than Travis Kelce is?
You expect him to make those plays.
He's got to make those plays.
And then some of them were tough, and you expect him. And Marcus Peters, is they made the decision.
How much of the show yesterday did you spend talking about cat daddies? Yeah, and the big-name guys need to make big-time plays.
And he did. He had 10 for 127 and a touch. But there were some big drops. That have been things that we've talked about.
It's like, unfair to only do this to quarterbacks.
Yeah.
When you're making that kind of money, and look, it's nothing to sneeze at. He's making nearly $8 million this year. Travis Kelce has been getting all of the respect, garnering all of the attention around the NFL as far as being the best tight end. Man, I gotta know that divisional round game against the Houston Texans, whoever it is, I got to know fourth quarter, I can throw it to 87, and that's a sure-handed dude. And right now, history of big games late in the game, not so much.
I mean, you can't, and I think you can't argue that. He has had big moments and big drops.
And he should be held to a different standard, right? I'm not being unfair.
He's the best tight end in football,
in my
opinion.
That's a great stat line. I need more.
But it even to me, Vern Gertrude, goes further than just the drops. It to me is, hey, man. You're not a typical tight end. He can run fluid routes like wide receivers. It's what makes him so tough. Wade Phillips says, I know how important Travis Kelce is. He started having Marcus Peters follow him around the field. And the way Marcus Peters has been getting done in a lot of the games this year, he was not able to take advantage of Marcus Peters when they were in coverage. He caught one ball. Now, it was a 30-yard gain. He caught one ball. Marcus Peters lined up against him more than anybody. With size and everything, he was not – it wasn't that he wasn't able to just get – you know Pat's looking for 87. He wasn't getting open. And on some of the drops, like, you know, he was right there and Pat threw it. He wasn't getting – so it's not just the drops. It's also – like, we saw what Thomas was doing to Marcus Peters. I mean, Travis is as good a route runner as some receivers. And his big body, you feel like he should have been able to take advantage of that matchup more than he did.
Let's not act like Travis Kelce's answered all the questions. To me, of this offense, he has the most pressure on him come January.
Really? Okay. Not Andy. I feel like it's Andy, but not
offense.
On the
players.
On the field. Wow, okay. All right, Vern, you had some strong thoughts about one of the most talked about moments in last night's game. And you know when Vern has his strong thoughts, you don't want to miss it.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
From the 816, bro, really now you're going to debate Kelce? Wow, both dumb as hell. 816, yep, let's trade Kelce because he dropped passes. I just don't think you guys are very, very
careful.
You're right.
If anyone, just if that's what they heard, thanks for listening. If that's what you think we said,
816.
Enjoy your day.
Like I'm serious. Like, I really don't understand if people have ears.
Well, they hear what they want to hear. That's how it's always been.
From the 816, you're an idiot. They're cutting Fisher before Kelce.
Who's cutting Kelce? Yeah. Well.
That's.
I can't wait to see Travis Kelce play for this team in the playoffs. I'm a big fan of his.
Like, yeah. How dare you, Vern? How dare you believe and have expectation that that guy make better plays. And obviously, if you say that you have the expectation to make better plays, that obviously means you think they should trade him. Mm-hmm. I want to trade somebody.
I don't know why you're staring at me.
It's I'm at a real crossroads with my dog, man. If you've I've had some conversations about Max.
Max, your real dog.
Max is 9 years old, and
9 years old.
Yeah, and it's
Yes.
I feel like I'm at a crossroads with him. He's taken the time. I feel like he's decided, you know what? I'm not really happy with the flooring we have in this house, so I'm going to do something about it. He's due to his piss.
Okay.
Due to his constant taking of dumps.
Come on.
On my carpet downstairs, he forced us into getting new flooring. Then yesterday, and he continues to do it, even though we have flooring. He's continued to do it.
Off the Rundown.
All right, we can do it. Off the Rundown, sponsored by absolutely no one. Someone could step up. Even with the new flooring we have that's not carpet due to him, he still continues to let it ride, taking dumps and urine breaks all over the place. He moves to the carpet upstairs and takes his dumps. We've tried to...
What a sweet life he lives.
We've tried to set up barriers for him not to, because he broke down his kettle. He's only 27 damn pounds. He broke the kettle that he was in.
That's impressive.
What kind of cheap-ass kennel was it?
It probably was cheap, but he broke that bad boy through. And so we set up barriers to give him a little spot. He's broken a door. He's bit through the bottom of a door. You saw it. And then yesterday, I came home, and I was giving him such credit. Oh, Max, I didn't see no turds. I didn't see no piss anywhere. Came up the steps, didn't see any down where he had right there. Water was gone, everything. I'm like, oh, let me get upstairs so we can get you out, buddy. I came into the top of the steps. This fool has dug a hole through the carpet, dug up the pad that was underneath the carpet to the wood.
Mm-hmm.
There's wood up. He done dug up the damn thing. Vern, I can't. So now he just said, I'm not happy with this carpet up here, so I want more. I want more. We just got, I want you to, I don't know what to do. I got two kids. They love
How
Max.
Did your wife react? Let's get to it. Let's find out what really is going on here.
I'm done. I believe we're the first two words. We got to figure out, this can't be. Like right now, I don't know what he's doing.
How attached are the kids?
I mean, they like Max. They love Max. Yeah. You know, he's a good dog with the kids. I love Max. But, like, this is just, I got two kids already. And this is, and like when I used to work nights, he took a dump downstairs and on the carpet 12 consecutive days. And my wife had a 3-year-old and a kid under one that she was bringing every day and then having to clean that up every day. I feel like my last resort is I got to find somewhere for him to go. I don't want to do that or get a big ass heavy duty kennel that he can't break through. I don't know what to do.
I have never and would never give you advice or tell you what you're doing with your children is right or wrong, because what the hell do I know? And even if I did, I still never would do that. But with a pet, I feel like I can say something. Like, how's he 9 years old still going to the bathroom everywhere? How come that hasn't been weaned?
Vern, it just happened. It, like, happened in the last year. Like, it
so he just can't control it.
I don't know what it is. Not to mention, man, we spend a pretty penny every month on medication because he's got awful allergies. He takes a pill every day. And any dog people out there, imagine a pill every day for allergies, how much that's rolling in for your boy.
Right.
But, like, I don't want to – I love Max. Max has been there since before we were married. He was our first kid. But, man, I just – man, I got a four-year-old and a one-year-old.
Do you know anyone with a farm? You know anyone that would take a dog?
No, not really.
Well, then you're on your own, man. You got to hang on to Max until
like some people text said, let him outside. He's not a dog that's outside. It literally just happened over the last year. And I tried it. We took him to the vet, and they're like, maybe more attention. So I've taken him out multiple times a day. I'm like, but it's still hard to give all of that attention when I got.
Right, humans. Children.
I feel like the kennel is the last step.
If you're gone for too long, that's bogus. For a 9-year-old dog, lock him up in a kennel. He said, hey, man, I thought we had agreement. I'm allowed to go to the bathroom where I want. Now you got me locked up. So I think it's too late for the kennel.
You think it's too late?
Yeah.
So what the hell do you presume I do? Just let him ride out and let him ruin? He dug a hole, find,
maybe. I mean, the garage, I don't know.
The garage?
You're in trouble. You're in trouble. You got to let me get this off real quick. You got to let me. Because last night, and we all remember the pick six, right? The pick six, Mahomes tries to make the tackle. Marcus Peters ends up on top of Patrick Mahomes. And so, I don't know if you've already thought of this, but I feel like, and I can admit, I can be a very judgy person. I like to try and understand why people are the way they are. I like to know the background, what happened when you were a kid. I think that often explains why you are who you are today. But I'll tell you what, man. I feel like for Chiefs fans, for real Chiefs fans, I feel like I could just show them that 10-second video of Marcus Peters on top of Patrick Mahomes. Show them that 10-second video. Say, what do you think? And know everything about that person.
That's a strong take.
I know. Not everything. Let me pull that back. Not everything.
Because you do go absolute.
I
that
do.
Got you
I
in
do.
Trouble
I,
the last
I,
time.
I do that too often. But I feel like you really expose yourself in your reaction to that. I feel like, because I saw a lot of people jump into some conclusions last night acting like they could hear what Marcus Peters was saying.
They know what he said.
That saw things that never happened. You go back and you watch that video. Marcus is above Patrick, obviously saying something.
Oh, he's talking trash. I saw Vahe said he talked to Mahomes and said, no, there was no trash. I believe Marcus was talking trash.
Marcus should have been talking trash. That's a pick six on this 23-year-old in a big old stage in the Coliseum. He better be saying, just like practice last year, kid.
Just like I told you before the game on the interview on NFL Network when everyone laughed.
You knew how to get me the ball.
I expect to get a win.
And then
he hadn't even got him the ball yet.
Marcus stands up and starts pulling Patrick to his feet.
See,
that's when his offensive linemen come to his aid and try to get Marcus away.
I think that's a discrepancy, right? Because you talk about the people who saw that. Because some people saw him trying to pull him up. He was driving his head into the turf. He was yanking him by his face mask. Classless.
But live as it happened, the reaction on Twitter, the reaction all over social media immediately showed a lot about you, in my opinion, really showcased your character and your immediate reaction. Now, I know there were a large amount of Chiefs fans went, all right, let's at least see a replay. Let's not jump down this kid's throat. That moment, that snapshot, shows what you've always thought of Marcus Peters and does it in just 10 seconds.
We've been trying to tell you this on this show, Show and Vern, for weeks. We have. Now, I hope, if you didn't believe us, that one of the best offensive minds in football, Sean McVay, can now help you believe this.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
I appreciate the family of Show and Vern. So many people giving me ideas about what to do with Max. Someone said they said it sounds like he's having anxiety issues. Man, we took him to the vet. Vern, they were telling us to maybe put him on like Prozac.
Dogs take Prozac?
Apparently. I said, oh, hell no, man. We're gonna stick with this.
Got to put a piece of cheese with it, though.
Sure. I thought dogs were supposed to have cheese.
They always take pills. No, they can't have chocolate. Mm. He made me so mad, I almost wanted to give him some chocolate last night. The look on my face, Vern. You remember, I called you.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, Miss Show, she's going to lose it. She's going to be more mad than I am. And I was hot. Sorry. Coming up, the Therese Paylor Show is live tonight at 6 o'clock. I can't wait for this. I cannot wait for this. He told me last week.
Is this on your date or during the show?
During the show. He told me last week. I had to tell you about some of the stuff he talked about on our date. Not our date. our going to the wrestling together, Monday Night Raw with Dusty. He said that Warren Sapp, that Aaron Donald is better than Warren Sapp. And you know, I was like,
yeah, that got you upset.
Come on now, 9-9 was my guy, but that boy is dominant. And I can't wait for us to talk about that tonight. We'll be at 119th and 69 Highway Tanners at 6 o'clock. And it'll be right here live on 610 Sports Radio.
What a great football game tonight in terms of just the competitive nature of the game. Guys responding back and forth all three phases, special teams, offense, defense. You have so much respect for Coach Reed and the Chiefs. You see why they're one of the best teams in football. But I thought our guys did an outstanding job together tonight, just sticking together, staying connected, not letting the circumstances dictate the way that we responded, and finding a way to get a big win, and it'll certainly make our bye a little bit more enjoyable, and then we'll come back ready to go for the last stretch of the season.
That was Sean McVay, head coach of the Rams, and Vern, we have been on this. We have been on this for a while now. Coming into the game, Vern, I'm going to fire out some thoughts. Coming to the game, Vern, what do we think was going to be the problem? What way of attacking did we think the Rams? And keep in mind, this is Sean McVay. I think next to Andy Reid, the best offensive mind possibly in football. What did you think coming to the game they were going to attack the Chiefs in?
Todd Gurley.
Running the football. Todd Gurley, not just running the football. I thought Todd Gurley would have 20 to 25 touches because the Chiefs struggle stopping the run, and the Chiefs struggle. And if Serta was here, we'll tell you, they're really bad against pass-catching running backs.
Wildly ineffective.
Wildly. And he's the best in the game. He is the best that we have in the NFL as a running back, especially since Le'Veon Bell is out, as a running back catching balls out of the backfield. That's not what the Rams' game plan was. The Rams said, even though we have Todd Gurley, even though any team, Nick Chubb, David Johnson, and that horrific offensive line of the Cardinals, Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, have kicked the living hell out of the Chiefs' offensive line, we're not going to use Todd Gurley. We're going to throw it to the corner. We're going to have fun on the perimeter. That's what their decision was. And we've said from the jump, the Chiefs' secondary, specifically their corners, we said from the beginning of the year, from the David Amerson time frame, that's the number one problem on this defense, possibly on the team. They looked to be improved with some of the players. And I think Steve Nelson has improved. And Orlando Scandrick has gotten better from at the start of the year. He's still not very good. Okay, he's still bad. Actually, Fuller's been worse than I thought he was going to be this year. But we told you, it's really because offenses are deciding to go in another direction in terms of the game plan on how they want to attack them. Specifically because it helps keep Mahomes and the offense off the field. But we've told you, if teams wanted to make the corners the focal point, they will toast their asses. That's why we were so hardcore about Pat needs Pat. That's why we were so hardcore about the cornerback situation. Because if they want to make it their focus, they'll give them the business. And the Rams and Sean McVay with Todd Gurley decided, Vern, we want to make this the focus. And they did whatever the hell they wanted to do with the corners.
I just don't understand why the first instinct of 20 and 22 is to interfere. Like, even when
it's
you could just make a play, Steve. You could just put your hand up and knock the ball down, but your first inclination is, let me get my hands on him real quick, a good 15 yards down the field.
He feels like he's always beat. Now, plenty of times he might be. I mean, they were dueling. Like, people who are tripping about the refs, you want to know why there were flags in the first half? Now, I thought there were some. The helmet-to-helmet on Eric Murray, that was the best play second-best play Eric Murray's played all year. But Lando was being caused to hold because he couldn't do nothing with Robert Woods, Cooks, and Reynolds rep. Steve couldn't do nothing with those guys. Slots open, come on down. They couldn't do nothing with those guys. And don't even get me going on Dan. They couldn't do anything with them. Look, we saw Patriots wanted to run the football to keep them off when they said, okay, let's pass.
Let me say this real quick about Pat needs Pat. Because
I hate the Cardinals.
It has been
I will forever hate the Cardinals.
Difficult transition for me this season, accepting the new NFL. Understanding that everything I grew up knowing about defense and defense wins championships, all of that is completely out the window. But concerning Pat needs Pat, the only time you saw this Chiefs defense really make plays last night or stop the Los Angeles offense was when that defensive line stepped up and made plays as you demanded live during the game on Twitter. It was getting not out of hand, but the Chiefs defense was getting absolutely, the Chiefs secondary was getting absolutely torched. Someone had to step up. The D-line had to carry this defense, and they ultimately did. I agree that even with Patrick Peterson, this secondary would still get the business on occasion, maybe even quite often. But that's just because of 2018 football and what the league is now. But if you have a guy like Peterson, he gives that defensive line another half second, maybe even a second and a half, to get some pressure on a guy like Jared
Goff. You think he helped Chandler Jones some last week? He got Tyreek, who will give it to anybody. The most impactful non-quarterback offensive player in the league. But he gave him to him that first play. They didn't have a ton of success in the passing game, especially against him. Newsflash.
Serta's Newsflash.
All right, guys, so I've got a story out of Chicago that there's some controversy in the Illinois Class 7 football playoffs. Nazareth Catholic upset Simeon Academy 34-27.
Hey, Simeon.
But that's just the beginning.
Jabari Parker, Benji.
According to the lawsuit that was filed by Simeon alumni, a Nazareth player's dad, named as Richard Mercado.
Sort of like.
We're losing him now.
Who is a high school football official. He's certified in the state of Illinois, but was not working the game, obviously, because of his son playing for Nazareth. Showed up in his stripes anyway. The lawsuit goes on to say that Mercado conferenced the officials before the game and was seen roaming the sideline discussing things with officials, which caused a quote-unquote substantial and material breach of contract. This puts a whole new twist on if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right?
Oh, my God. This was all to get off that joke.
This is so sort of like, it's like sort of his energy, him though, in the last hour. His energy is much better. You could tell he's got it in his bones.
I didn't stay with any of that story.
No, I didn't. I didn't even know it was if you ain't cheating, if you ain't trying. But it's like sort of called him in the break and said, let's make this thing a little lengthier.
This is your chance to shine,
it,
kid. Man,
that was it. He was only thing he was away from being Serta, because I believe that was an invitation. The only thing is, he would have waited 7.5 seconds prior to. It would have been like, all right, newsflash. in Chicago. But I do love his energy.
Great energy.
Great energy. Don't know what the hell the story was. It took us 15 minutes to get there.
Very wordy, and you did screw up a name. And but he had a joke at the air.
And he nailed it.
You did just admit, I don't care what this person's name is.
Do you think, Pepper,
come on, man.
We're all
Protein
struggling.
House.
Eat with a purpose. Text line 69306.
In unison. Love it.
That was the best thing we've done all week. That was it. That was. Can you do it again? You want to nail it again? 1, 2, 3. Protein House. Eat with a purpose. Text line 69306. How would Denny say it?
I can't do it, Denny. You can.
Let you remember, the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line is going to be 69306.
Pretty good.
Text that right in if you think that Jason Ketch has done a pretty good job and deserves to have another news flash in the 1 o'clock hour. That ball's down and away ball, too.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Ah, back at it. We're having such a good show, right? Oh, this has been fun today. Coming up, y'all thought since Serta was gone, y'all thought since it was a bye week, that we wasn't doing Tuesday morning donuts? Oh, hell no, baby. 1:15. Let me stop right there. I don't know what that was about. And I'm just going to sit myself out for 30 seconds. I really don't know what came over me on that whatever I just did, the oh, hell no, and what voice I went in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just take 30. I apologize.
You should. I wasn't listening, to be quite honest. I don't know what you did.
Not too sure either.
I am kind of nervous, though, because I don't think Jason Ketz, who's filling in for Serta today, quite understands Tuesday morning donuts. We are kind of... Although, that actually might be better, because Serta understands what his duty is each and every Tuesday when he shows up to work. I know what I need to do for Tuesday morning donuts, and as many of you know, Serta continuously lets us down with his inability to do a menial task. I'll be interested to see if, on his first attempt, just learning what it is, will Jason Ketz secure some Tuesday morning donuts?
I don't know how I feel about that. That's coming up at 1:15. And we have to explain it to him because he legit does not know.
I have no clue what
legit,
you're talking
this
about.
This is not.
Thanks for listening to the show, dude.
Yeah, this is not a bit.
You're welcome, Vern.
He's busy. This isn't a radio bit. He hasn't anything.
He's busy doing.
I know. He could at least listen to the podcast. But I mean,
once.
You know,
one Tuesday once. Show. We've
this is one of our more weeks. Popular segments yeah. And at least one of that's one of our top dear, 10 horniest segments of the week. Talk one of my real horny segments thanks. Of the week. Speaking of horny, where was Mr. Nasty last night? And if you listen to this show and you watch this team, you know who Mr. Nasty is. I retired. I know.
I was going to say, I thought.
I retired.
That was
I retired. You. I retired. Yeah. I mean, I retired. But you know who Mr. Nasty is.
Oh, he's licking his lips.
That man that was licking his lips, the man that seatbelts, we know at Monday Night Raw last week, he was spitting something nasty to Nia Jax that caused her to whip her head around. And then we found out, since the game was being moved from Mexico to L.A., that the next WWE Survivor Series pay-per-view was going to be in L.A. And we knew that meant horny-ass Reggie was going to make hay and wasn't going to let this get past him. I didn't even notice Reggie played. How many snaps they say that Reggie got last night?
8.
When? Special teams? Because it was Dorio Daniel, and they was putting – Sorensen in the box. I didn't even realize 59 wasn't out there. And you said it. His legs were going to be tired.
Yep.
because he was going to have to deal with the irresistible force.
No, he couldn't handle that.
Nia Jax.
He couldn't handle
it. Look her up, and you'll understand maybe why he couldn't handle that. But he loves a challenge. He wants to try to handle it. That's probably something he's never had before. And if I know Nasty Reggie wants to come back for second. And probably did, and they could see it in his eyes. I heard someone earlier say Eric Bieniemy was the first one to spot him. Could see it in his eyes that she got it.
I didn't even realize that Reggie didn't play till this morning, and you pointed it out. Like, I wasn't looking like, hey, man, when's Reg going to step up and make a play?
Because the coaching staff, I don't think Dave Tobe has an eye for that. I don't think Andy does either.
No, Andy definitely doesn't. Andy doesn't talk about that
stuff.
Al
Harris might. No?
From insider info, Al definitely does.
Al does. Yes, you did cover Al, didn't you, for the Packers?
Yeah.
Al knows it. Al did it. Al was probably next there with him. Al was probably right there with him.
Wait, not.
He was probably trying to take one for the team. She got a cousin out there. She got a cousin. He probably said, I'll take her for the team. And then came back and said, listen, guys, I'm telling you, Reggie ain't going to have it.
I feel like Reggie walked into the locker room looking like he just saw a ghost.
But a happy ghost.
No, it freaked him out a little bit.
But he's
because Reggie's been around the block. I was the man at Bama. I've been in the NFL for a minute. I've thought I've seen it all. I've done it all. But what she did to me.
She's a former world champion.
That 6 foot, 272, dropping.
Hurt that. Don't say drop around me. Don't say drop around me. Anybody who is in NBN knows where I go when I hear drop. Don't say drops around me. Because we know if she came off the ropes and hit Reggie Ragland with Hogan's finishing move, 1, 2, 3.
Taken down. Ball is loose. Picked up. Ebukam returns it for the score. Scoop and score.
Things. I mean, every single game, you leave plays out there where you think you can hit. Turnovers just changed the game. I think I gave them 21 points pretty much through turnovers. And just kind of like I said at the New England game, you can't give good teams points turning the ball over. So that was pretty much the change point of the game.
That was Patrick Mahomes prior to that. That was Joe Tessitore. That was courtesy of ESPN. It's really weird. Coming to this game, it feels like two of the biggest awards were decided in this game. I think the Defensive Player of the Year award was decided in this game.
Really?
I felt Khalil Mack had a good game Sunday
there
night.
You go.
Khalil had a good game
Khalil's
Sunday
got
night.
Something to say.
Khalil's got something to say. He had a good game Sunday night, but he's had some injuries this year where he's missed some time. What Aaron Donald did on the big stage, you can say he won the game. He caused two fumbles, one fumble that led directly to a touchdown. And another one that halted a scoring drive that it looked like the Chiefs were going to. I think that was taken care of because Aaron Donald's just going to continue to be dominant. And then I don't think it should be this way. I actually feel like Patrick Mahomes should be in the lead. But Drew Brees, it's going to be hard to take away the MVP from Drew Brees because the writers, I believe he deserves it. And I believe this feels like a Kobe Bryant Lifetime Achievement Award. And he's having an exceptional turnover season. He's going to shatter the record. He's on pace to just absolutely shatter the completion percentage record. He's been coming on strong with another 4 touchdowns in his last game. And he's thrown 1 interception this year. Pat threw 3 in a game yesterday. He's thrown 1. And he's throwing the ball down the field. I think when you look at these two, because coming into it, we told you, he played against the Rams, and he was exceptional. Now, Pat brought up a lot of yards and six touchdowns, but I think the thing that goes into people's minds is the turnovers at the end. He's going to have to do something crazy, I believe, to take it from Drew, because I don't think Drew's going to slow down. I don't think Drew is going to have really awful games to let it back in. And they want him to win it.
No question. And Hall of Famer deserves an MVP. I'm not going to get upset about it. You have to believe that Pat's going to be in the conversation for years to come. I'm not going to argue with it and only further your point, actually. I mean, New Orleans has a lot more marquee games remaining on their schedule for Drew Brees to continue to flex for the National Riders. The only way it happens, again, is if Patrick Mahomes shatters Peyton Manning's single-season touchdown record. Right now, he's on pace to come up a touchdown short. Patrick is on pace for 54 touches right now. He starts flirting with 60, and he could. Things could get weird against the Raiders. He starts flirting with 60. We might have a different conversation.
60? I guess he can do any. If that boy throws 60 touchdowns, I'm going to do the show in my draws for the rest of that week.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.